This is David Lacey. Today is April 17th, 2018. I'm interviewing John White at his home in Pilot Point. I'm interviewing him for the University of North Texas Oral History Program on St. John's Church and Cemetery and the historical memory of the church, cemetery, and the community. Good afternoon, Mr. White.
Good afternoon.
Could you please tell us your name?
John A. White.
What is your address?
412 North Dallas Street, Pilot Point, Texas. Zip code 76258.
Did you grow up near Pilot Point?
Yes, I did. I grew up about 3.5 miles southwest of Pilot Point.
What is your earliest memory of Pilot Point as a child?
Well, my earliest memory is when I started to school at Washington Elementary School here in Pilot Point. This was prior to integration. We had our own school, and it was Washington Elementary School.
If you don't mind, I might have to ask you, how old are you?
Today I am 75 years of age.
Okay. And how long has your family lived in Pilot Point?
My family has lived in Pilot Point all of their lives.
About how far back?
Back in the 1918.
Okay, and so they came to Pilot
Point. That's my father. Now, my grandparents, they lived here prior to that. It was in the 1880s.
So your father was born in Pilot Point?
My father was born in Pilot Point.
And then your ancestors before that, your grandparents and such, came to Pilot Point?
They came to Pilot Point.
Do you know where they came from?
My grandfather was born here, but his dad was from Tennessee. My great-great-grandfather came from Tennessee.
Okay. What about your grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother?
Both came from Tennessee.
Okay. Can you tell me anything about your grandparents' life? Well, let's start with your parents' life. Can you tell me anything about their life?
Well, my father, having been born here in Pilot Point, Texas, grew up here, attended school at the St. John community, and for about 3 or 4 years, and he went to, I guess, maybe about the fourth grade. After that, he worked with his dad, and during that time they were farmers, and basically that's all they knew of is farming.
Do you know
they had about 15 or 20 acres southwest of Pilot Point.
How did they get their acres?
They bought and paid for them. It's a long process. My grandfather told me that he didn't tell me how much he paid for it, but at the time, he was making 50 cents a day. And he bought the property, not in his name, but in my dad's name.
Why did he buy the property in your dad's name?
Well, he bought the property in my dad's name because he saw the necessity that if something happened to him, my dad and his sister would have a place, and he wanted them also to be able to take care of his wife, who is my grandmother.
What types of things did they farm on this land?
Well, they did their own gardens. Mm-hmm. He planted some cotton. He planted peanuts. And he also worked for other people in the area.
Do you know what they use the crops, cotton, peanuts, and such. Do you know what they used it for? Was it totally to sell? Was it some of it for themselves, for use?
The vegetables was to use for themselves. The cotton was to sell.
What about your grandparents' life?
Well, my grandfather, I don't know a lot about what he did when he was growing up, but he did not get an education. He maybe got a third or fourth grade education, according to him and my grandmother. And basically, they did farming. That was their life, farming. Mm-hmm. And they felt like that in order to maintain and exist, you had to take care of yourself. And that's all basically they did. My grandmother, she stayed home and she did the home chores, far as gathering the fruit and vegetables and cooking and washing. And of course, you know that to wash, it took you all day.
Okay. What about further back than that? Do you know anything about anybody beyond that? Or that's about as far back as
that's about as far back as I can go. My grandmother would tell me about her dad and that he did farming as well. Now, he grew up and existed when they were in slavery. And she would tell me a few things that went on, but I can't recall, you know, the particulars.
Yes. Were your parents and or your grandparents in slavery as well at all, or no?
No. No.
So they were born out. They were born after emancipation.
Yeah. My grandfather was born in 1873 or somewhere like that. Okay. Basically, yeah.
Okay. Are there any stories that they passed down to you about their lives, experiences, things of that nature?
Well, my grandfather would tell me, and he shared a whole lot of common sense things. I'll never forget that one day I came home from school and he asked me, what did I learn? And I told him I learned how to add, subtract, and I learned how to spell. And he told me this. He said, son, it doesn't matter about your education. He said, I want you to always remember that in all of your learning, have common sense. And he said, and I asked him, I said, what is common sense? And he said, son, common sense is that sense that make all other sense nonsense if you don't have it. I didn't quite understand it then, but now I understand it.
Very good advice. Did you grow up in the church?
I grew up in the church.
What church did you grow up in?
I grew up in the Pilot Point Church of God in Christ.
What was it like?
Well, it was the charismatic church. Mm-hmm. You know, the hand clapping, the foot stomping, you know, the singing and of that nature. So that had a great impact on me because prior to my mother becoming a Christian, we never went to church. But when she accepted Christ, then I went. And I became very involved in the church. And as a matter of fact, I went into the ministry when I was 14 years of age.
Why did you decide to go into the ministry?
I just felt like that was for me. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, I guess the Spirit of the Lord was on me, and nobody in my family was a minister. Nobody was a preacher. But, I mean, I accepted the calling of God on my life. And I accepted that, and from that forth on, you know, the church has been a part of me, and I live and try to exemplify what a Christian should be.
Amen. Did you all have a lot of guests preachers when you were growing up at your church?
Sure. There were a lot of evangelists that came from town to town. They would come. They didn't have to have an invitation. Hey, if they knew you were having a church, they would come, and the pastor would have them to preach, and this made a great impact, you know, on me as well.
What was the impact that it made on you?
Well, I think the impact is that we have to live the songs that we sing, you know. We have to exemplify what Christ, you know, how he lived and what he did. We have to exemplify that same thing in our lives. And that has impacted me. The more I heard, the better I wanted to be in my relationship with God.
Do you remember St. John's Church?
No, I don't. I don't remember none other than what my grandmother told me and shared with me.
That's okay. That is exactly the type of information that we need. What is it that you remember that she shared with you? What did she share?
Well, she shared with me basically that it was in the community, and this is where my father went to school up until maybe third, fourth, or fifth grade. I'm not sure exactly about the age, but the impact the school had in the community, the teachers were really held with great esteem, because there weren't very many teachers. And so that's basically what she shared with me, how important it was even to get an education.
What was church life like for people back in your grandmother's day going to St. John's?
It was like a responsibility that you had. You know, you worked all week, and Sunday was a day of rest, and you would go to church and you would spend your day at church, you know. I mean, no working, unless they had a saying that the only way that you would work, and they call this ox in the mar.
What does that mean?
M-A-R, ox in the mar. That if a animal got in the ditch on Sunday, you got him out.
What else do you remember about St. John's and what your grandmother and maybe even your parents told you?
Well, I do know that I have relatives buried there. And I have cousins.
So they have a cemetery as well?
They have a cemetery as well.
Okay.
And one of the things that is vital is, and it's because they didn't have a lot of transportation other than horse and buggy. A ride horseback. So when you went to church, and if a person deceased, they had the cemetery behind the church so that you didn't have to do a lot of traveling, you know. And so the school was in the church, and the church was wherever the cemetery was.
Okay, so they had a church, a school, and a cemetery associated with St. John's.
It was associated with St. John.
Okay. And the church and the church and the school were in the same building.
In the same building, correct.
We've heard that the church was a little ways away from the cemetery, maybe about a mile, half a mile, something like that. Do you know if that was true?
No, I don't believe it was that far away.
Okay. Your understanding is that they were right next to each other.
They were close to each other, yes.
Okay. And you said you have family members that are buried there.
Yes.
Who's buried there?
J.D. White, Allen, the Allens, the Holloways, they were relatives of mine, and they're buried there. Now, there may be others that are buried there, but there's no headstone to depict where they're buried.
Okay. Do you know anyone else who has family members buried there?
Yes. Well, my cousin, but we have the same family. he's on one side. He's on one side of the family, and I'm on another, because my grandmother came from one sister, and he came from the other sister. So,
so you all have the same family buried there.
We have the same family.
What
yeah.
about anyone other than you and him?
No, I don't know of anyone else.
Did you go to school in Pilot Point?
I did.
What school did you attend?
Booker T. Washington Elementary School.
How Go ahead.
And, well, Booker T. Washington, this was prior to integration, and it was separate from all the other schools here in the city. And so it went from the first grade to the eighth grade. And after you finished and graduated from the eighth grade, we were bused or transported to Denton for high school. And I attended Fred Moore High School there. This was prior to integration. It was an all-black school.
How was school structured when you were younger?
When I attended elementary school, there were four rooms. One room contained the first, second, and third grade. The second room contained the fourth, fifth, and sixth. The third room contained the seventh and eighth. And there was a large cafeteria. The bathrooms were outside. We had to leave and walk to the bathrooms. Outhouses, they call them. The girls had an outhouse on one side, and the boys had an outhouse on the other side. So, but we did have running water. Also, at first we only had coal. We had a stove that burned coal. Later on, they got gas, so we did have gas to heat the building.
Okay. What was school like when you were a young child?
Well, the teachers were very set on making sure that every student could read and write and understand arithmetic. That's what they call it. Wasn't math. They called it arithmetic. Okay. They were determined to teach us those three things. And once we were taught those things, it gave us the tools to work with. They were sure and they were intent on seeing that these things were accomplished. They were very strict. They had a good relationship with the parents, so that if we misbehaved, they told our parents. And then our parents, at that point, made sure that they didn't have the same problem again with us. So this was one of the things, and I think that because the school was separated, and I think that the interest in us was greater than the interest in kids now.
Why do you say that?
Well, I said because they understood the necessity of an education.
And you don't think that's the case now?
Well, the teachers may tell them, but when you have someone that is just like you, who have attained and who have gotten in place and the same, coming from the same community, coming from the same, you know, environment, it's more impactful.
So you think integration to some extent hurt children as far as their education is concerned?
I do.
Did you go to college?
Yes, I did.
What college did you attend?
When I finished high school in 1962, I went to Jarvis Christian College from 1962 to 1966. And then from 1966 to 1968, I attended graduate school at Bright Divinity School at TCU. And then I worked at the Tarrant County Juvenile Probation Department for 27 years. And I also, as a probation officer, juvenile probation officer. And then I also went to Sam Houston State for 2 years for my certification in criminal justice.
So at least part of your education was during segregation and mm-hmm. Jim Crow time and all.
Yes, it was.
Do you remember years of Jim Crow?
I really didn't know exactly what Jim Crow meant. I know it just didn't sound good.
Why didn't it sound good to you?
Jim Crow? I mean, just the name itself implies something that's not favorable to me.
Okay. What was it like going into town during those years?
Wow. Now, for us, living in the rural area, I lived about 3.5 miles from town. Going into town, we only went to town basically once a week. That's on a Saturday.
For what?
My parents went to get groceries.
So you all got groceries once a week, and other than that, your parents didn't go into town. You didn't go into town.
None other than going to school. We came for school.
So school was in town.
School was in town, right. It wasn't a very good experience. It's because when I got up to about 14 years old, I had some bad experiences because many of the white who were in town, they would chase us back home. And many of them knew us or knew of the family. Because growing up, from the age of 7 years old, we worked pulling cotton here in Pilot Point, out on the East Prairie. Pulling cotton was a means of livelihood. When school was out in May, we were out for 6 weeks, and then we went back to school, and we went for about 6 weeks, and then we got out again so we could pull cotton up in the latter August and September, and so this was a livelihood for many of the people here in Pilot Point.
So the kids were allowed to go to school or attended school, but then removed from school in order to
pull cotton. Okay.
How did you personally deal with all of the interactions or lack thereof as it related to the Jim Crow time and the segregation time?
It was a great challenge, and I will tell anyone that when you grow up with the condition, your parents don't have to teach you that, is because you see them the way they act, the way they respond to another race, and see how they are maybe done wrong, and it just becomes a part of you. For when I was growing up, we couldn't go in the front door to the cafe here in this town. We had to go to the back. If you wanted a hamburger, you would go to the back and go in and sit down in the corner where they were cooking. And if you went into a store to buy something and you were in line, they would look over you and pick another person and have to say, let me wait on them first. And then they would wait on them before they waited on you. Well, what can you do? Who do you tell? If you have a problem, who do you go to? You can't go to the police. He's white. Who can you go to? So, hey, you shut your mouth. You don't say nothing. And you go on about your way.
Now, you said earlier that your parents and you only went into town like once a week.
Yes.
To do grocery shopping. Where did you do all the other things that families need and things? So, for instance, if you wanted to get a haircut.
Okay.
If you wanted to get some other service done, if you're only going into town for the week, what else would you do?
My parents worked in Denton, Texas. He worked at Acme Brick Company. My mother worked in Denton. She did house cleaning. So everything that they really needed on a daily basis, they got it while they were in Denton. If I needed a haircut, we would go to Denton.
So you all go all the way to Denton instead of Pilot Point.
Pilot Point.
Why? Yes.
Because there's no barbershop here in Pilot Point. For a long time, there were not many stores, no more. There were a few grocery stores and a few other places. But they preferred because many times it was cheaper. And they had better relationship with the people in the larger place than they did in the small town.
Why do you think they had better relationship with the people in the larger city
than
the small town?
If you knew my family, especially on my mother's side, there was a lot of conflict going on.
Like what?
I would rather not say.
Would you possibly tell me after we're done?
Yes.
What about prior to your parents, or with your grandparents and such, the same type of thing? Did they all tend to go to Denton whenever they needed something or wanted things mm-hmm. done mm-hmm. instead of going to Pilot Point, even
yes.
though it was closer?
One of the things, they did not want the people of Pilot Point to know their business. They banked in Denton.
So, in order to stay private or more private, mm-hmm. they would go a little bit further away to handle
yes.
and do business.
Why? I don't know. They said, I don't want these people here to know my business. So they did their business there. Because if you were in a store or if you went to the bank, the banker knows the people at the store. The banker knows the people over here at the dry goods store. The banker knows, he knows how much money you got. He shares all that information with all these people because they interact together. They know each other. So rather than to decipher your information at one place and everybody know, they would go to Denton.
Where no one necessarily knew them
or the people here.
That's an interesting theory. Do you know if there were any other freedmen communities around Pilot Point that were like St. John's community?
Yes. Well, other than, I think I made it St. James.
St. James was one.
St. James, Baptist Church. Now, I don't know the community name. If they had a community. And the name, they may have had a name. I don't know if you've gotten that or not. But there was those people that lived around St. James Baptist Church. And if you notice, in most of the communities, there's a church. And people disseminate, you know, mm-hmm. from this.
So the church was the center, of the community.
The church is the center of the community.
Okay, so there were two... So there were at least two communities around Pilot Point that were freedmen communities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if there were more than two or if there was just the two, St. John's, St. James?
Now, there was a community, I'm not sure, that is out in Mustang, Texas. This is a part of Pilot Point. It's called Mustang. Now, that's where my grandmother, when she grew up, that's where they were. Her father bought 100 acres when he came from Alabama. And that's where they lived, on that 100 acres. But her mother could not read and write. And when her dad passed away, her brother mortgaged the property and they lost it. But now I don't know of a church in the area. She never told me that, you know. If
Do you know of any other families that came to Pilot Point to help form these communities in St. John, St. James, and maybe even Mustang, Texas? Where'd they come from?
My parents came from my on my grandmother's side came from Alabama, Dudleyville, Alabama. On my grandfather's side, they came from Tennessee. Now, whereabouts in Tennessee, I don't know. I've had a difficult time trying to find out about them, is because my great-grandfather looks almost like a white man. And I don't know how much black, you know, he had in him, but he was almost white. And so, you know, I don't know if, I don't really know if he was a slave or not. Okay. No one has told me that.
Do you know if there was any interaction between these freedmen communities?
Oh, yes, yes.
Like
yes.
What?
Well, they visited each other, and if they were going to get married, they couldn't marry their own folks, so therefore they had to go out to another community.
So,
and most of the time, the interaction was that they had Saturdays, they had ball games where the communities came together to play baseball.
Okay.
They also had cafes where the blacks came together to the cafe.
Is that similar to cafes from today's age where you go and have some coffee and
No. I mean, this is where you go and, hey, you dance and you have bands coming to play.
So like a cabaret.
Yeah. Okay. And you got people coming from Dallas and all around, and their bands come and they play and they dance and they drink and cavort and whatever it is.
So, from your understanding, the people located in each of the different communities were generally related to each other.
If they weren't related, they were interrelated through marriage.
Okay. So either by blood or marriage.
Blood or marriage.
Somehow related. So people in St. John's, by blood or marriage, typically were related to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It might be one person or one family that's
right.
Not, but mainly they were related to each
related
other.
Related to each other.
And the same with St. James and Mustang.
Yes.
Thank you. How many people do you know during that time period that St. John's and St. James was vibrant, that from Alabama? Were most of them from Alabama?
Most of them were from Alabama.
Okay. What about Gainesville?
Gainesville? I don't know about Gainesville.
Okay. Do you know when your family moved to Pilot Point?
They came to this area somewhere about 1888, I believe it was 1888. That's when they came from Alabama.
Okay. Do you know why they came?
No, I really don't. I've tried to find out. I just think that they were tired of being, you know, living under the conditions that they were in Alabama, and they wanted, and it was after the Emancipation Proclamation. And so they were just trying to get out of that condition and just came this way to Texas.
Okay, so do you know what the history of St. John's Church is?
I have no idea what the history of it is. You mean when it was originated?
Yes.
When it came into being? I know it had to be in the late 1890s or right after, early 1900s, somewhere along in there, you know.
Okay. What was it like growing up in the Pilot Point area?
Well, I tell many people growing up in Pilot Point, I grew up mostly in the rural area. So growing up there, I don't have a lot of in-town experience, but my experience mostly has been in the country, where we grew our own food. We went hunting. We created our own livelihood. You know, my dad worked at Acme Brick Company for 40-something years. My mom, she did housework. I went to school, but I was always back home. So my life has always been kind of like in the rural area, you know, with my family and with my relatives. You know, we visited a whole lot. My cousins, they would come visit me and I'd go visit them. And so, but it was all, you know, family oriented, and the family is very strong because of the interaction that we've had over the years.
Do any memories stick out to you in particular of when you were growing up?
Well, I was very close to my grandparents. A lot of the influence came from my grandparents because I was with them. I was almost with them more than I was my parents. We had 20 acres. We lived on one corner. My grandparents lived on the other corner. Say you got 20 acres. We on one corner, grandparents on the other corner. So what we did is, when my parents were working, I was with my grandparents. And even sometimes when they were home, I was with my grandparents, because they had more time for me. They put more into me, telling me about their lives and what they did, and you know, the training, the common sense aspect of life, you know. And he would tell me things. Example, he said, if a man's word is no good, he's no good, you know, things like this. And he would tell me, if you owe somebody, pay them, maintain your integrity. I mean, these are some simple things that has helped me to be where I am. It's because if I tell you something, I try to do it. Because I always think, if my word is no good, I'm no good. And so the impact growing up has been mostly from my grandparents spending time with me, showing me, teaching me how to hunt. Teaching me how to ride a horse, teaching me how to do those things, you know, that most people in town don't get a chance to do. So I think my grandparents were probably the most influential.
Okay. And it sounds like it. Were there any church schools that were active in Pilot Point when you were growing up?
No.
What about when your parents were growing up?
No.
Okay. So all of the schools were part of the state-run schools,
right,
as opposed to,
yes,
church-run?
Yes.
Okay. Those types of things, like the church-run schools that we were talking about earlier, that operated at or within the church of St. John's, were more of your grandparents' time?
Right.
And,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Were there any... Did you leave the area? I know you mentioned that you went to college away from Pilot Point.
Yes, yes. But I left the area when I was about 18 or 19 years old. I went to college, and I came back, but I ended up getting married when I was about 21, and I ended up moving to Fort Worth. And so my kids, I have two kids, a boy and a girl, and we lived there up until 2008.
Okay. Yeah. Why did you come back?
Well, I came back because of the demise of my mother. She passed away, and this was a home. As a matter of fact, I had bought this prior to when we had to move from the country. Is because the Lake Ray Roberts, they built that lake, and yes, our property was in the vicinity of it. So we had to sell, and my mom, this was in 82, and my mom had to move and come to town. So I ended up buying this place, and she lived here.
Okay. Do you know what ended up happening to the church, St. John's Church?
No, I don't. I just surmise that when people, when the community and the people in the community started leaving, you know, they got married, they moved off for a better life, to move to the city, mm-hmm. well, then there was nobody there to maintain it.
Okay.
And it just kind of, you know, disappeared.
So you think that to some extent, maybe the integration, maybe the people moving away from the area, mm-hmm. At least brought about the demise of the
yes,
church?
Yes, yes. Because St. James as well, all the people there in that area, the older people died off. Some of the younger people, they moved into town. Some of the older people moved into town. And so the church was left out there. But they end up moving that church from out there into town. With St. John, they didn't move it anyplace. It just stayed there. The people moved away.
So St. James, the church, mm-hmm. moved.
Moved, yeah.
And with St. John's, it was the people.
The people moved.
That's different. Okay. Do you know approximately when that went on with St. John's?
No, I don't. I have no idea.
All right, so let's talk about the community and the residents of St. John's again, because I know we were talking about that a little bit before. Do you know where the residents of St. John's and St. James came from to create the community?
Well, when I grew up, there was no St. John. I mean, active. And there were people who had lived in the surrounding area. But these people were either deceased or had moved away. But when they lived there, they all met at this one place, you know, at St. John. So, I don't know of all the places that they lived, but I know they lived in the surrounding area.
Okay.
And many times it wasn't very close. It may have been 2, 3, 4, 5 miles because they lived out in the farming areas, and many of them didn't own their homes. They lived there because they was working for somebody. And as long as they worked for that guy or that person, they lived there.
So there were lots of sharecropping.
There's a lot of sharecropping, correct.
Do you know when these people arrived in the Pilot Point area?
It varied because, like I said, you know, My grandparents moved in here maybe around 1888, 1890, somewhere along in there.
Do you know if anybody arrived before that?
No. I'm pretty sure they did, but I don't know if it was before or after.
Do you know any families associated with these communities that were here? St. John, St. James. I know you mentioned your family. You mentioned the Allens.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anybody else? Any other families?
I don't know of any other family that is associated with. They all deceased.
Okay. And I know you mentioned your family, again, the Allens, sort of all related,
yeah.
that came to Pilot Point after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of any others that came after the Civil War to this area?
No.
And I don't know if I asked you specifically before, but since I'm not positive, I'll ask it now. Do you know when the cemetery became the old slave cemetery?
I don't know who gave that cemetery that name. I had never heard of it.
Okay. And so it had always been referred to as St. John's Cemetery.
St. John's Cemetery. Yeah. I'd never heard of it.
When did you first hear of?
About 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
And they said the old slave. And I wanted to know myself where it was. But then when I saw it, I said, no, this is St. John. Because I knew the proximity of the cemetery. And my grandmother never referred to it as a slave cemetery. And I think the reason I said before, I think it's because when they looked at some of the headstones and they saw some of the people were born, you know, during slavery, that they said this was a slave cemetery. But they may have been born during slavery, but it wasn't a slave cemetery.
Do you know why the name changed? Do you think it really changed because people looked at the headstones and saw sort of when people were born and assumed?
I think so.
Do you know why the cemetery was abandoned?
Because the older people moved away, died out. The younger people had no interest in it.
So similar in a lot of ways to why the community, the church, sort of fell into disrepair and sort of died out.
Yeah,
people moved away.
Some died, and there was no interest by the youth. And the younger people usually move away. You know, they don't want to live in the country. They don't want to live in an area where there's a cemetery. So, hey, they move. And so when they move, who else would have interest in a cemetery if your family is not born buried there?
That is true. Do you know if there was a school? I think you mentioned it earlier, but there was a school associated with St. John's Church.
Yes, the school was in the church. Okay. It was not a separate entity for St. John.
And so it was run by the church in the church.
It was run by the church in the church.
Okay.
And there was not a large student body. If you looked at it, you probably maybe have, 10 students? 10, maybe? If that many, you know? Because they had to come such a long way. You know, horse and buggy, you know, you got kids, and you know, walking in the country. I mean, it was nothing for people to walk a mile, 2 miles, you know, maybe three to school.
Yeah.
But wasn't that many going to do that? They started working, you know, when they got up, you know, 8, 7, 8, 9, and 10 years old. I mean, their families had them working.
Okay. Got to. When did you become interested in St. John's Cemetery?
Well, I think I became interested in it when its location was made available to a lot of people, and I had relatives that were buried there.
When was it made available to a lot of people?
It's been probably about 10 years ago.
Why was it made available?
Because they had people who bought bought land around and bought the cemetery, not knowing that the cemetery was there. They bought the property, and J.D. White, when he bought it, he happened to stumble up on it. And when he saw the headstones, and he saw his name on a headstone, his name is Jim D. White. My great uncle is J.D., John D. White. So when he saw it, I mean, he took an interest in it.
And so that sort of kicked the ball
That kicked it off, yeah.
Do you know anyone else that has been interested in the cemetery that should be interviewed?
What's the guy's name you told me in Denton? Church Council.
Willie
Huspeth.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been quite interesting. Matter of fact, he's been very instrumental in seeing that the cemetery is taken care of. Matter of fact, the historian Betty Peggy Rivers,
yes,
who's in Denton, they got a grant apparently, and they've been keeping it clean. They came out, they got all the brush and debris and everything and cleaned it out to make it available, you know, where you can go out and visit and see, you know, some of the headstones that there. And, you know, it's become an interest to a lot of people. But one of the drawbacks is that you can't get in unless you call John or the other lady that's in the area.
Susan, I think.
Susan, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know anybody else with any other information about the church or the cemetery or St. John's community or any of that could be and should be interviewed?
Well, I really don't, because none other than my cousin, but you know, he's in a care facility now, and mentally he's almost 81, 82 years old, you know.
Okay.
And so he's has a little dementia. I was here, I guess maybe about 3 years ago. He had a lot of pictures that I wanted, and I saw them, and he showed them to me, and now he can't find them. I was upset at him. But anyway, he would be the only one.
Okay.
You know, that would have, because he has family, you know, on the Allen and Ware side as well.
All right, I think that's all that we have. I don't think I have really anything else for you. However, is there anything else that you want to add that I haven't asked you about, but you might want to say?
None other than I think this is an important endeavor. And I think it's going to be very instrumental, and I would like to see it come to fruition. I think you're doing a great job, and I'm glad I could be a part of it.
Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule.
You're quite welcome.
Thank you.